There used to be a piece in teaching history called Polychronicon, which they've changed because most people can't say it. And it's now called What Have Historians Been Arguing About? And I'm just going to sort of highlight three, because I think, A, they offer really, they're only 2 pages long. So yes, do read Toby Green's stuff, do read Priya's stuff. But these are quite good distillations. So we've got Liam LaBird from King's College in Teaching History 183, talking about the British Empire and its impact. And it kind of goes back to what you were saying about Mackenzie and Porter and people like that. And it brings back interpretations. It brings back subject knowledge. But he asks the question, how can historians write a history of the impact of the British Empire on the locality, on Oxford, on Birmingham, on Bournemouth, and things like that? And that gets the students in the classroom looking at memorials, street names, architecture, family histories, all sorts of possibilities there. Lauren Working, who's a historian at Oxford as well, teaching history 179, looking at empire and migration. She inquiry question that comes out of her piece could be, why have historians turned to material objects and micro histories? And these are really great inquiry questions that open up some of the complexities that you've been talking about. Edward Webb, teaching history 178, talking about decolonization and empire. Why have historians begun to look beyond the archive to community histories, to that sort of stuff? Now, these are in most of those cases, they are historians who are keen. This is a new generation of historians who are keen to work with schools and think about the different types of knowledges that schools have, and to sort of fashion inquiry questions that open up the ways in which historiography have moved on, new questions are emerging. And these are all of those questions I'd love to do. So we talked a lot about scholarship and the curriculum, both in schools and how it's panning out in higher education. And I want to finish with us talking about how these issues might work out on a pedagogical level. What's happening in the lecture hall and or in the classroom? So Priya, perhaps if you start first about from your teaching of the topic at a higher education, what's happening in your sector, and then Michael, if you could then come in and sort of offer some insight into what makes a topic controversial in pedagogical terms in the classroom and what sorts of things we might need to think about.
Okay, well, I think, you know, what is important to say is that although academics might be specialist researchers in particular parts of history, and it may well be about the history of the British Empire or other empires, when it comes to handling this stuff in the classroom, we're all at the moment responding to a changing environment, both pedagogically and culturally speaking, as we've kind of broadly mapped out already in the conversation. I'm still fairly early on in my career. I was teaching for 2 years as a teaching fellow in modern South Asian history at King's College London from 2018 to 2020. So got my first experience of classroom teaching then, but also of online teaching as we went into the pandemic. And I think in that time frame, I taught courses on, you know, India, South Asia, as it was sort of from the early modern period through to the British Empire, through to Indian independence, Indian and Pakistani independence. I taught modules on South Asian international relations, post-colonial South Asia. And then I taught a module on Imperial Britain. And all of those modules were very popular modules with students who increasingly on campus, there is a political debate about how you decolonize curricula. What does that mean to decolonize? How do you diversify? And not just to therefore address histories of empire or legacies of empire, but also to integrate a much more diverse range of historical content. So from writers of colour, from women, from transgender histories, from LGBTQ histories, and to essentially broaden out, enrich the nature of the curriculum, no matter what subject you're looking at, whether it's empire or not. And for me, I must admit, I'll keep this very personal in a way, because I can't speak for every other historian. What's interesting is that the overall map of a curriculum that you'll see it for universities is rapidly changing. You are going to see a lot more variety of different history modules from different parts of the world, different periods of history with empire embedded into them. But actually teaching that kind of history in the classroom with, say, upwards of 10 students, I learned a lot from the students. And I could see, I had a lot of, in teaching in London, I had a lot of Black and Asian students in my classrooms, which I didn't have when I was teaching at Oxford to the same degree. And actually working with that demographic of students for me was really quite moving, if I'm honest, because I could see a lot of my own journey in them. And there are confidence issues as well when it comes to writing and study skills and that sort of stuff. and confronting the academic literature that we've all been discussing in this conversation today for the first time as second or third year undergraduates, and then having to write essays about it. And at that point in time, I could see the culture shock that I referred to at the very beginning of our conversation in the eyes of the students. When you are forced to think anew about histories that connect to your family or to your heritage and confront it in academic terms, and then to connect that with an element of lived experience. So I try to bring that more theoretical literature as well as the cultural history, as well as the intellectual history. And I was learning through that process myself about how to process this kind of thing for myself, and how to get the students to process it for themselves, not just on an intellectual level, but on an identity and an emotional standpoint too. So I think from my point of view, what I would say is that this is an ongoing process that we're in. And at different stages of a student's life cycle, as they move through education, they're going to think about this in different ways and encounter it in different ways. And I think as a teaching community, be it at school or at university or otherwise, or even as these students potentially think about going to do their own research, you know, as PhDs or whatever, we need to be reflecting, you know, on the pedagogical dimensions of this all the way through as to how best do we equip ourselves and our students to grapple with the layers and the complexity of this, especially as the research is so rapidly growing and changing and evolving at the moment. I think that's what's so exciting about studying this period of history. There's a new book, a new article, a new documentary coming out all the time. It's hard to keep up, right? We will always be a step behind. So anyone listening to this, we've recommended so many books and things. Please don't feel you've got to read them all. I can't read them all. My students can't read them all, but I think it's learning to approach this with an open mind is something that I have really engaged with, and that no one is going to be the expert. We are not always going to agree on this, but we have to approach this with calmness, respect, and an open mind.